Galatians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I want us to look at verse 4 in particular. As Paul said, a mouthful in that verse, even as he did in the whole salutation here. And then as he goes on to speak to the Galatians about specifically the error that they had fallen into. Now, this is a true thing, that it is, error is on every hand, and it behooves the children of God to be mindful of error and not to blindly walk about receiving everything that we hear, even when it sounds good. Because there's a lot of things out there that sound good on the surface, but they are not good nonetheless. Even though something may appeal to our flesh, and it may be helpful to our flesh, it's not necessarily a good thing. And so that's why Paul goes on to instruct the children of God to walk circumspectly. He said, walk circumspectly, not as fools. Because fools don't walk circumspectly. Fools just walk along and, you know, everything's all right. They don't think about the fact there's something they could trip over. You know, how often is it that we have gotten excited about some particular thing in life, and our excitement was so great, and we looked at it and we were like going towards it or whatever, only to fall over something or run into something in the meantime, and bring us back to, well, wait a minute, you know, I need to be watching where I'm going as well as listening to the thing that sounds so good to me. And so he marveled in verse 6 that they were so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, those are strong words right there. Another gospel. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, what he meant by that was that there's only one gospel. There's only one truth of God that is in keeping with all that the Lord taught. And of course, as Brother Al brought out there this morning very ably, and I was very blessed by what he had to share with us concerning the matter of the law. Because this is exactly what it is that he's dealing with the Galatians about. And when a man moves away from that which Christ taught, then he has moved to another gospel, even if there are some similarities. See, when Paul said it's another gospel, he didn't mean there were no similarities. See, another gospel may include the fact that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for sinners. A man might stand up and preach that Jesus Christ died for sinners. He might say that, and yet at the same time, according to what Paul says as he goes on in this book, be actually preaching another gospel. So what is the gospel? Well, it's the whole gospel. It's not a part of it. See, a part of the gospel is not the gospel. It may not in those some parts be an antithesis to the gospel, but we're interested in the whole. And so you see, when the Lord gave the law to the Jews, He gave that as a whole. He said, if a man has broken the law in one point, guess what? He's guilty of the whole thing. You can't say, well, I never robbed a bank, even though I didn't keep the Sabbath. What difference does that make? If a man has broken one of them, he's guilty of them all. And so the law was given for the purpose of bringing the whole world guilty before God. I mean, what can we say? We might not have broken every one of the commandments in their totality, in every way in which they could possibly be broken, but there's not any of us who has not broken the law. And if we've broken the law, then we've broken the law, and we're lawbreakers. And the same law that condemns men for robbery, condemns men for adultery, condemns men for envy, condemns men for not loving the Lord with all their heart or their neighbor as himself. Same thing. See, it's all one thing. It can't be divided. You can't pick the parts that you like. You can't be fired up about this part of it and be running a campaign to stamp out all bank robbers if you're not for stamping out all people that don't love the Lord their God with all their heart. Those that speak the name of the Lord in vain or whatever. You can't pick and choose. It is the law of God. And so the gospel, in much the same fashion, is the gospel. And it is the whole gospel. It's not a part of it. If a man preaches that the just shall live by faith, but then he says, that's true, but now at the same time, you've got to keep the Ten Commandments in order to be pleasing in God's sight. Now let me ask you a question. Can those two things coexist? That's what Paul says. He said the law is the law, the gospel's the gospel. And he said there are those that come preaching another gospel. Now, does the gospel have something to say about the law? Of course it does. We sang about it a moment ago right there. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's a wonderful. Paul said, he said, the law, you know, is there something wrong with the law? No, there's no problem with the law. Nothing wrong with the law at all. What's the problem? Problem's us. But you see, the preaching of the gospel is not the preaching of the law. Even though the preaching of the gospel is not opposed to the law, nor does it seek to overturn the law, but the preaching of the gospel is the fulfillment of the law. Because you see, the purpose of the law is to reveal sin. It was never to make men holy. Because what did Paul say? If there had been a law which could have produced righteousness, what would it have done? It'd have made righteous men, wouldn't it? But it couldn't. Why? The law's weak because of the weakness of the flesh. That's where the law breaks down. Nothing in the world wrong with the law itself. But when you put a man under the law, what's wrong with that picture? He can't keep it. He won't keep it. It's not within him to do so because he is a sinner. And Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel that I preached to you that plainly set forth this very fact. Because what I've preached to you is not about how you might keep the law or get other people to keep the law. But he said it is another message which does not overturn the law but shows us what the law is and gives us no hope that we should ever be justified by the law. Because he says, this is what I came preaching to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Now that word world right there, that's an interesting thing to look at the word world and how it's used in the Scriptures. And there's three basic words that are used in the New Testament for world. One of them, the one that's used here, is aeon, which is the word we get eon from. I mean, that's just kind of like a transliteration of the word. It means age. An eon is an age. And that's the word he uses here. He said that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Now, an age is where we are at the present time. But it's not where we will. We will not always be in this age. How do we know that? Because he says, I believe it's in the book of Ephesians, that we have been set free so that through the ages to come, we might praise him. Through the ages to come. See there, this is an age. We're in an age. But dear brethren, this is not what we've got to look forward to. This age we have been delivered from. It's what the Scripture says. The Lord hath given himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think that in heaven, and when I speak of heaven, I'm speaking of the, of course, heaven is often misused and misunderstood, and we kind of use it in a general term. Paul said he was called up to the third heaven, and indeed we speak of that place to which we go after we leave this world as being going to heaven. I think sometimes we have some rather infantile views of what that is. But we are going, the Lord said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now that is to be in the presence of the Lord, and I think most people consider that heaven, but I think a lot of times people think about heaven as a place with golden streets and all of these type of things. That's not what Paul nor the Scripture speaks about, even though the Scripture does speak about. In John's vision, he saw not streets of gold. He didn't see a street. He didn't see streets of gold. He saw a street of purest gold. And he said that gold, it was so pure that it was clear as crystal. Now, what kind of gold is that? Is that gold like you think of? I mean, could you go to Fort Knox and find what the substance of the street of which John speaks about is? Of course not. That's not what he meant. But he meant that it was such a grand thing, the most glorious substance to men on earth, I suppose, is gold, is it not? I mean, the love of gold is the root of all evil, Paul said. Love of money, the love of gain. And gold is generally that which ultimately is how men measure gain, if you got some of it. And so when he speaks about a street of gold, he's merely speaking of the grandest thing that human mind could comprehend and consider. But we're not... Someone had said one time, I forget who had said this, but they said they knew that all of God's... I can't remember. But anyway, the gist of the thing was that they didn't believe there was a street of gold in heaven because the shoes would scar it up. And some ridiculous something. But that's kind of the infantile mentality that a lot of people have about heaven. Heaven, or the place which the Lord is going to prepare for us, is a place that we desire not because of all that kind of stuff, but because it's a place where He is. Now, this place where we are in the present time is not the place where He is. Now, He is in all places at all times. We do understand that. But remember that He did say, I go away. And He said, I'm going to leave the Spirit with you. The Lord is not here in the same fashion in which we shall one day be with the Lord. Now, we shall be with Him because He is not in this present age. This present age has a God. The God of this present age is the devil. That's what Scripture says. He's the God of this world. God of this age. He's the God of that which is, which we see around us. Now, when I say we see around us, I don't mean the trees. I don't mean the birds and that, because that's another word. You see, that's the earth, the world, which is, I won't attempt to pronounce this Greek word for you, but it is something like oikoume, I believe, is the word that is used. Which world, it means that which is the world. I mean, we see it around us here. That's the world. Now, when the Scripture says that He might deliver us from this present evil world, this is not evil. The tree is not evil. The grass is not evil. I mean, the dirt's not evil. Well, it's just dirt. It's grass. It's the creation of God. How can it be evil? There's no substance in the earth that's evil. That's why the Lord said, it's not that which goes into a man that defiles him, but that which comes out of him. See, that's what defiles us, is what we are, not what is out here. Not the substances of the earth. That's why Paul said, all things are lawful to me. Because there are no evil things in the earth. These are not evil. And we've not been... The Lord didn't come to die to deliver us from this earth because this earth is of no... It's not going to hurt us. I mean, this world is not our enemy. I don't wake up in the morning and look out the window and see the trees and the sky and all those things and say, man, I got to be careful today. You know, it's going to get me. No, that's not where our problem lies. It's not in that. And then there's another word that's translated for world is cosmos, which is the world order. That's the order of things in which are around us. And even that in itself is not against us. It's just the way God has designed it. It's the way that it is. But dear brethren, this present evil age in which we're in, there's much danger here for the children of God. But it is this which the Lord has come to set us free. He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age. Because what's going to happen to this present evil age? It's going to be destroyed. The children of this world are wiser than the children of God. The children of this age, they got better sense than we do in this age. I mean, the principle in this age that seems to be at the forefront is get what you can, when you can, as you can get it. Because you'll be better off. And if a man's living for what's in this age, could he argue with that? I mean, if a man says, well, whatever I can amass in this world is the thing that will make me great and it will enhance my life, then who could argue with it? If a man got it however he could get it? Wouldn't he be the one that would have it? I mean, I'm talking about this age, not what we've been told. The Lord taught. What if a man should gain what? The whole world, but lose his soul. Now, you don't have a soul. Now, we've been taught that since we were little, that we're people that have a soul and we have a body. No, you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. See, your body is that which dwells in what? This present evil age. It's here. I mean, we can see it with eyes that have been given to us. And we dwell, dear brethren, in this present evil age. But what does the Scripture say? The Lord gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age. Because where does our sin exist? Does it exist in the ages to come? The Lord, I mean, John said that that the former things were remembered no more. Now, a lot of times people get to worrying about whether or not, well, you know, what are we going to do if we get to heaven and somebody we loved is not there? Well, I can tell you the answer to that. When you're in the presence of the Lord, you won't be thinking about them. You see, the former things are passed away. This world's what it is. The Lord Jesus Christ came to deliver us from it. Now, the only person that does not appeal to is the flesh. Why? Because the flesh likes this present evil age, doesn't it? I mean, everything about this age, my flesh loves it. I mean, it likes being able, I mean, it would desire to partake of all the things that are in this present evil age and consume it in great quantities and fill itself up with it. Why? Because the flesh is resident in this present evil age. But dear brethren, according to what Paul says in the book of Corinthians, that this mortal, see, we have mortal bodies, and these mortal bodies reside in this present age, in this present world in which we are. These mortal bodies that are susceptible to decay, they can be hurt, they can be made captive to sin. The Lord came to deliver us from it. And Paul said that this corruptible shall do what? Going to put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. Yeah, brethren, it's not that my body, this old piece of meat right here, is going to be this piece of meat that's going to live on. But it means that I am going to be given a new body which is not the product of this age, this present world. But we're going to be given a new body because it's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells what? Righteousness. Because you see, in this present world, righteousness does not reign. Now, in the knowledge of the children of God, in the gospel that we declare, righteousness reigns. We know it. See, we've been taught that. And Paul says to the Galatians, I'm amazed that so soon after I've come preaching to you that you have forgotten these things. And you've moved back to something that's of this age. Now, what is of this age? Don't do that. Because if you do that, the law is going to condemn you. Now, dear brethren, listen to what I'm saying here. The Ten Commandments are not written. This is where I started off a while ago when I'm back there now. When we started talking about heaven, I started to say that you are not going to find the Ten Commandments in heaven. Well, why not? Well, I mean, you mean that the law of God is not the law of God? No, the law of God's always the law of God. It never changes. Just what it is. But dear brethren, you see, the children of God have written in their hearts now that which will not need to be written in the ages to come. The Lord said He'd give His people a new heart. Now you see, everything about you is not going to be changed on the day of the resurrection. What you are is what you are. You see, the goats are not going to be changed into the sheep. But the children of God, those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ came that He might save us out of this present evil world, they're going to be translated into another kingdom and given a spiritual body which is not likened to this one. Now, I don't understand how that occurs. I believe that there is indeed, as far as this present evil world is concerned, there's coming a day when it's going to be judged and when it's going to be destroyed. And all the inhabitants that live in this present age, that is, that their whole life is wrapped up in this evil age, they're going to be destroyed with it. They're going to be taken out of the way. The Scripture says the name of the wicked shall rot. This present evil age is that to which the Lord has come to deliver us from. And we as the children of God, dear brethren, have already in a measure been delivered from it. Because we are not of this world. Now the Lord did not come to take us out of this earth, nor even out of the cosmos. But He has died on Calvary's cross to deliver us from what? This present evil world. This present evil age. And so we can't go out of the world as the earth. We can't leave the planet. We can't even leave the order in which we're presently in. But oh, this age, dear brethren, by the grace of God, if we be in Christ, we have already, by the fact of being born again by the Spirit of God, been delivered from this present age. This is not the place to which we gladly give allegiance, is it? I mean, if we've been delivered from it, we're moving beyond it. We're not prisoners of it. See, the man who's outside of Christ, he's going through life and he's looking around and he's saying, man, this is great. I want some of that and I want some of that and I want some of this other and this. But you see, the man who's been born again by the Spirit of God, he said, oh Lord, help me. I find myself attracted to this present age. And Lord, I know that this present evil age is destined for destruction and is not that of which I desire to be a part. How does that happen? By the grace of God. The Lord works in His people, both the will and to do of His good pleasure. You see, He is at work and operating in them. And He is in the present time delivering them from this present evil age in mind and heart. And when that great day of resurrection comes and this mortal puts on immortality, that won't change. You see, a man that loves Christ now, he's going to love Christ in the ages to come. But the man who has no thought for the things of God, he's not going to be miraculously changed into something that he's not. Because you see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to give Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present world, according to the will of God and our Father. And dear brethren, this is the message that we preach unto God's people, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, you brought up a good point there a minute ago about the fact that the priest, they went about breaking the law every day. But there was no condemnation to them because they were ordained to do that which the Lord directed them to do, even though it was contrary to the letter of the law. Dear brethren, we are priests and kings before God. He has made us such. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We don't serve Him out of a fear for the law or what might happen to us if we don't. What's the Scripture say? Perfect love does what? It casts out fear. Brethren, the law holds no fear for the people of God. Now, sin is a real enemy, and we hate it. Man that doesn't hate sin has not been born again. Now, a man can be taught to hate certain sins because of things that might arise as a result of committing them. I mean, a man might say, well, if I drink a lot of alcohol, I might get cirrhosis of the liver. Therefore, I'm not going to drink a lot of alcohol because I don't want to get cirrhosis of the liver. Well, I mean, he's better off, isn't it, than not to drink alcohol? I would never tell a man he wasn't better off if he did that. But dear brethren, what value is that for the children of God? Not any at all. Because you see, Paul said, and such were some of you, when he spoke about being drunkards. He said, and such were some of you, but you're no longer that. Now, did he mean that they never drank any alcohol, or perhaps maybe even that they never drank any alcohol to excess? Was he saying that? No, what he was saying was, you in the depths of your soul and what God has made you, you are no longer that. See, you're no longer loving that way. You're no longer going down that way. You're no longer embracing this age. You're no longer saying, well, it's a good thing, buddy. I enjoy it and I'm going to do it. David committed a great and egregious sin. But David was no adulterer. What? What do you mean? Well, what I mean is this. That Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That will never come up in the ages to come. It's not a factor in the present age. What happened with David? He had a broken and a contrite heart. Now, what brought that to pass? The work of the Spirit of God in him. Did that happen? Did everybody that did, perhaps not to the same degree, but committed the same act that David did everybody have the same reaction? No. But oh, when the work of the Spirit of God takes place in the heart of a man can't escape it. There's nothing to do about it. And the Lord, even as this young man in the Corinthian church, that Paul said, you need to deliver such a one to Satan. What did he mean? Deliver him to the God of this age. He said, turn him over to it. Because if he is indeed one of God's children, when he finds himself cast out from the midst of the people of God and cast back among those whom he has professed that he's desiring to leave, he will be destroyed in his heart and he'll say, oh God, help me. And what happened? The Scripture says that did happen. Because he came back and he repented. And he said, oh God, help me. And he was restored in such a way. The Lord has come to deliver us, dear brethren, from this present evil world. Now, when I was little, well really, not necessarily so little, but when I was young, and I had the idea that the Lord came to die to save us, to get us to go to heaven when we died and keep us out of hell. And that's basically what I thought being saved was. You got saved and then you got transportation to heaven when you died. And then it was all up to you to do whatever you was going to do, you know, if you wanted to give your life to the Lord and really serve Him, or if you just wanted to live any way you wanted to, but you always had that fallback on it later sometime down the road when you died, you was going to go to heaven. That's another gospel, dear brethren. That's not what Paul preached. That's not what the Scripture indicates. Because the Scripture says that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Now, if He died for our sins, what did He do with them? He took them. And he was buried with them. And when he rose again, they were left in the grave. You see that napkin that was folded up and left there in that tomb is the indication of that which was the grave clothes were left behind. That he might deliver us. Why did he die for our sins? Did he die for our sins so that we might go to heaven when we die? Did he die for our sins so that some folks might not go to hell? No, the Scripture says he died for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That's what he died for. That was his purpose in coming, to deliver his people. Now, brethren, he can't fail. And it, this isn't something that is future. Well, we just hope one day we'll be delivered from this present evil. No, dear brethren, He came to die for our sins that we might be delivered from this present evil world. See, this is a present thing. It's something that is right here and now, and this is what we came to be delivered from. Not thou yonder, but now. And Paul says to these Galatians, I marvel that you're so soon removed from it. And you're going back into this present age, because you see, the present age is the age in which men say, oh, if we'll keep this law or that law, then we'll make ourselves acceptable in God's sight. Now, their biggest problem, being Jews, was the fact that they were harping on circumcision, and you got to be circumcised in the flesh. But it's just a picture of the same thing. And he said, Christ came to deliver us from this. There's neither Greek nor Jew, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. We've been set free. Now, dear brethren, there are always going to be Galatians in the world who say, oh, you better not preach that. Why, you preach a thing like that and people will just be going off doing all kinds of things because you say there's no law. That's not true. Not true at all. Just because something will not bring us into condemnation, if we're not in condemnation now, what difference does that make? Dear brethren, it's a glorious thing to be born again by the Spirit of the living God, because Jesus Christ came to deliver us from this present evil world. He came to change people's hearts. That's what He said. He said a new covenant. He said, I'm going to make with my people, not after the covenant of the fathers, which was do this and live. But He said, I will write my laws upon their hearts, and they shall not teach every man know the Lord. It's not going to be a matter of, well, we got to instruct you on how to be a child of God. No, you can't tell somebody how to be a child of God. Why? Because the Lord Himself is teaching His children how to be the children of God. And one of the greatest hindrances that they have in this world of that is those that's going about telling them how to do it. We've been delivered from the wrath to come, for sure. But the evidence that we've been delivered from the wrath to come is the fact we've been delivered from the present evil age. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How are they known? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Dear brother, we don't desire to walk after the flesh. Now, sadly, just like Paul, we find the flesh very present with us. And it is a constant battle that we face, but in the depths of our soul, we say, oh, who shall deliver us from the body of this death? What did Paul say? I thank my God through Jesus Christ my Lord, because we are not prisoners of this present age. We've been set free by the grace of God and by the work of the Spirit of God in His people. He does deliver them and will. Even to the bitter end. I don't know what the bitter end is. It may not be bitter. I don't know. But, I mean, people say the bitter end, and I use that phrase all the time, to the bitter end. But, I mean, it may not be bitter. I don't think for the children of God, really, the end, insofar as we can see things with our eyes, it's not bitter. It's glorious. Because it is the very deliverance of that which the purchased possession. The purchased possession, it's that which it will be taken into the presence of the Lord and shall dwell with Him, what? Through the ages to come. The worlds to come. What I mean, if you wanted to just literally, the ages to come. The eons, the worlds. There we are with Him. not, dear brethren, those who are subject to this present evil age. May the Lord help us.